Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in San Diego on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. here alongside my partners, Crisello, Matt Scravey. We've got a short show for you. 4:30 off. Eagles, Giants.
You sound like you have a countdown going on right there, like a little clock ticking down in front of
Saquon
you.
It's
only 4:30.
I'm just freestyling right now. got the short show for you. We're going to talk some Padre baseball here shortly. Gentlemen, how's the day going today?
So good. Another good day, Tony. It's always a good day. I mean, if you're here in San Diego, lovely weather, getting to spend some quality time with you guys. And I think me, like everybody else, is still a little shaken up over the landing of that Schwarbaum last night at Dodger Stadium. That was incredible. I know he hit a second home run, which scraped the top of the fence, so I'm not forgetting about that one. But I've gone to Dodger Stadium my whole life. You played at Dodger Stadium. I've never seen a ball go on top of the pavilion. Ever.
Where did it land?
On the top of the pavilion in right
lefty,
field.
Yeah, Fernando
did it on the right side. Four guys did it on the right side.
Did his action? Okay, so he went over
the top.
He did it over two. See, I didn't. Yeah, maybe I just don't have that in my mind.
I can't think of any lefties. Maybe Barry got up there.
He didn't. They did have a story last night that said Willie Stargell had been the only one ever, and that was 1973. Okay. So, you know, it was a while ago.
So then it's just those two then on the
left-hand
side.
I mean, this ball, I've never seen anything
like it. The
crazy
part, though? Still doesn't touch the one he hit at Petco.
It was, I don't know. Look, Tony, we have to have a discussion with the people who do the distance thing. I don't know if Scraby can find somebody somehow who could explain to me how they figure out the distances, because 455 for the one last night. Okay. Mm. According to StatCast, Schwarber has hit more than a dozen in his career, longer than that.
Yeah.
But I've never seen a ball go out of the Dodger Stadium like that. I just couldn't believe it was not to the 500 mark. And then they showed they thankfully, very nice of them later in the game, showed the one off of Darvish.
Yeah.
And I looked that up. That was 488.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like I said, I had in the moment when that ball came off his bat at Petco.
At Petco, yeah.
I knew I was watching something. Because remember, right. I'm up high.
I was too.
I knew
I was
by
the
trajectory of that ball
one, yeah.
that I was looking at something I had never seen before.
You're never going to see it again, probably. I mean, that was absolutely unbelievable. But the home run he hit last night, and make no mistake about it, I don't know that Yamamoto would ever admit it, but he was shook up for about four or five hitters. He just was. He couldn't get anybody out. He couldn't land a curveball for the rest of that inning.
A little gun shy.
I would be.
Yeah.
That ball was absolutely one of the greatest home runs I've ever seen, and I just loved it. And, you know,
they live
the more
to fight
I think
another
about
day,
it,
by
think,
the way.
Sorry?
They live to fight another day, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, they do, and he'll be trying to Schwarbaum again. They start at 3 o'clock, so about an hour from now. But, you know, the more I think about it, it's not my money, but whatever we got to do.
Ready to have him now?
Yes! Could you imagine in a whole season of getting to tune in or listen to you and Jesse, you know, get four at-bats at night with this guy? He goes 0-for-22, and it's probably pretty frustrating. But when he does that,
that's the thing, though.
It is unbelievable.
I don't know
that fans out there are going to be okay.
You think they're
going to
lose their mind?
But he does hit a home run like every 10 or 11 at-bats. That if he goes 0 for 10 and hits a home run in his 11th at-bat,
but he's had a couple of 0 for 20s here. So.
Maybe it's the fans that need to make the adjustment.
I don't
disagree.
If
you get a dude like Schwarber...
Yeah, you just got to put up
after experiencing what you guys seem to hate this past season...
Right, we have no home run power.
Why
and I'm convinced
this is a huge hypothetical, by the way.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And of course,
it's not a real thing.
You know, and I don't want to downgrade Pete Alonso, who's the other first baseman of slugging guy, who's I know is available, but I don't think even Alonso is as strong as Schwarber in terms of balls and distance. And I want somebody who's going to play 81 games at Petco Park who can hit it way over the fence because. You know, Petco Park has a way of knocking those drives down, especially at nighttime, Tony. We've seen it for years and years, but anyway, that's fantastic.
I got to tell you how they measure the home run distance.
Real quick, I just think as we were comparing Pete Alonso and Schwarber, they just have different swings.
Yeah.
I mean, Schwarber is a very short, compact.
That bat whips through the zone.
He's got some serious bat speed, but so does Pete Alonso. It just looks different.
Looks a little different.
Bigger, smaller.
Yeah, Alonso looks like he muscles it over the wall. Schwarber just buggy whips it.
That's a great,
way gone.
Great kind of description of it.
Anyway.
See, I don't understand why they use this way of measurement because it's not actually measurement. They take three things into account: launch angle, exit velocity, and like duration in the air, and then they determine what the number of feet is. But like we've seen things, and it's like Fernando's on top of the A's clubhouse was like 410, even though that was like a 475 foot shot.
I think what we have to remember is that, and this is the problem with having the kind of exact. Yeah, I saw it.
We'll have to get to Mr. James, LeBron James, here shortly.
What, did he just announce that he's working
he announced
for
that he is now
a burger company
the host
now,
of American
or?
Airlines TV?
He is announcing he's getting old, is what it is.
Okay. He's got one of the oldest injuries in the NBA.
Let's go ahead and get it out the way right now. He's out 3 to 4 weeks due to sciatica on the right side.
That sounds like, it sounds like me, LeBron. By the way, LeBron, I show up to work every day with the same malady, but I obviously don't have to play an NBA game, so.
You know, when I was at my heaviest and drinking a lot, I had some sciatica problems. It's not fun at all.
No.
Anyway, back to the Padres getting Kyle Schwarber and hitting a bunch of home runs.
Right.
Well, you were going to tell, you told it, so basically, because the 455, I'm looking at Fernando's
now. What I was going to say is the buildings.
And it did clear it and left. That is current. Yeah, incredible Fernando's.
The buildings give the whole thing.
It gives it a little different look.
It gives it
I agree.
An effect. So, like, if you just took a blank canvas and you just measured the ball, that's basically kind of what they're looking at, right? We're looking at, well, that ball went up on top of such and such, and it just kind of
rattled around up there,
right?
Because there are seconds. If Fernando's hits off the top of the building, there are a few seconds that it would take for that ball to actually get to the ground, and they didn't take that into account.
Well, the one with Schwarber at Petco Park, I mean, he hit it into the upper deck, but if the upper deck wasn't there,
the ball
would have just gone
somewhere.
go to left. Downtown.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't even know how you do measure that one either. Anyway, it took my breath away, even on TV last night. That's saying something.
Shall we jump into some Padres stuff real
quick? Yeah, because I thought it was interesting what Kevin, you know, wrote today. And, you know, we've been talking about it ourselves and whether or not, you know, we think AJ should come back. And, you know, it seems from what everything Kevin Acey is hearing at the San Diego Union-Tribune that is the way they are certainly leaning.
Yeah, no,
and I was happy to read that.
Kevin kind of hit on John Seidler's letter to the fans, and then he kind of went through the different sections of the team. He started at the top, and this is quoting his article. By all accounts, the intention is that president of baseball operations AJ Preller and Shildt will remain. Preller has 1 year remaining on his contract. Shildt has two. Multiple sources have said Shildt's spot is virtually guaranteed and that Preller's long-term employment with the Padres is practically assured. Some of those same sources say they expect an extension for Preller to be announced this month. However,
I would think they have to announce that. You can't go into the season with him as a lame duck, can you?
No, I wouldn't think so, but we'll see. However, those people have cautioned that the parties still have to discuss the terms and parameters of an extension, what is expected in terms of day-to-day operation going forward.
I was going to ask you, because you do know AJ the best, but you'd have to be reading his mind, which none of us can do. He's got a contract for a year. Would there be any thought anywhere that AJ Preller himself might want to try something else? Or would this is going to be, in your mind, you just feel this is, Padres want him, he's back.
Yeah, that's a good point, because no one's letting AJ answer.
I don't know if you can throw anything
out the window.
Out the window.
Yeah, honestly. You're right.
We just don't know. I mean, this is certainly the first peek into, what we do know in terms inside that organization. I mean, I would assume these sources are coming from within.
Yeah, I would think Kevin's got it lined up pretty good.
Kevin's usually terrific at this stuff, so we have no reason to think otherwise.
Yeah.
It sounds like both are coming back. But to your question, I don't know that you could throw anything out the window. They started at the top. Now they get into kind of the things that plagued the Padres last year, hitting the right notes. Several in the organization believe it is imperative that the Padres examine their hitting philosophy.
Yes, and Victor's name was in there.
It was
poor
indeed.
Victor. Yeah, it's going to be on you, Victor.
The Padres sank from 10th to 28th in home runs, from 8th to 18th in runs scored.
Yeah,
and from 6th to 16th, they were better than middling based on their execution of small ball, how she'll manage in order to maximize margins and how the pitcher staff performed. But multiple people in the organization predicted going into the postseason that if the team's run ended early, its demise would be the offense. I don't think that's anything that surprised. We said that before the playoffs started. We said it after game.
There's
one.
Nobody blaming the pitching on getting eliminated in the playoffs.
Not
and we can't blame the fielding or the base
the
running.
The interesting thing about this particular spot, right? The loss that you got from last 24's roster was Jerickson Profar. He provided, what was it, 20-something?
Maybe 28.
I mentioned this last night. They lost.
28 homers that they lost?
I think so.
You had a drop-off in homers by about, what, 8 from Jackson? I think he had 24 the year before. He had 17 this year, so 7?
He had 14 this year, 24 last year.
Oh, so 10.
So that's the official
line. Drop-off of 10 there. That's 38 homers that you've lost from the year before. Now, you picked up Laureano's, but you didn't get all of those. You picked up a few from O'Hearn. You got, what, 16 from Sheets?
And until you made the changes at the trade deadline, the bottom three in your order was a black hole.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to make up for that in just 2 months of the season.
No.
And I thought of it last night, again, when the Dodgers are able to send up 7, 8, 9, Muncie, Pajes, and Edman, that is almost a 4, 5, 6 for a lot of teams. You see what you're up against in that area.
I think. And so this kind of goes to what we talked about with Matt Snyder yesterday, right? Like, adding one bat could be the difference as long as everybody else gets back up to their
norms. Everybody does their thing, yeah.
Right.
And you know what? I think they're going to just hit more home runs because next year it'll come back a little bit more.
Right.
And the other thing is, before they fire Victor, or are you and out there have already fired him, or maybe some haven't, whatever, understand that they fell from 10th to 28th.
Right. So
that means they were 10th.
It worked at one
right.
point.
They were 10th.
Right.
He was, I'm assuming, the same coach this year that had them 10th. And when he was 10th, we were ready to build a statue of him because no hitting coach has been able to do that here.
That's right.
So I'm just saying, I don't know Victor. I know you know him, Tony. I've never really got a chance to talk to him. I don't even think we've been lucky enough to have him on the show, but I'm not that in a hurry.
Yeah, we're going
to make a move with that.
We'll go a little bit longer in this first segment to get to some of the rest of this out, because the part that gets a little dicey, I think probably the most concerning part, is really going to be out of the Padres' control. That's the tough part, and that's as it relates to the staff, right? They already know Mike Schilt's going to be back, but we can't possibly think that Ruben Niebla is just going to keep sliding under the radar. There are going to be teams that...
What is his contract? I'm sorry. I thought he was signed last year. It's over already?
No, but I mean, if you get an opportunity to be a manager.
Oh, manager.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, okay. And that's certainly something I know he has said in the past.
That's something
he'd be interested in doing.
Yeah.
Quite a few of those openings there. And so something that you just should be put in the back of everybody's mind. And not only is that for Ruben, but Ben Fritz, the Padres bullpen coach, right? I'm sure pitching coach jobs are going to open up as well. And so as much as you're trying to keep your coaching staff intact, which is a strength for this ball club, inevitably when you have good coaches, they do start to go elsewhere.
Yeah, well.
And so it's just something to keep in mind. Because Ruben has been a, especially with Ruben, he has been him and Ben Fritz. I don't know that everybody understands what Ben Fritz does in that bullpen, but the bullpen has also been pretty good to go alongside what the starting rotation has done overall. So both of those guys have been huge, but just be mindful that as you go through this process, you have such a good staff, other teams are going to want some of those staff.
But I also think, you know, the Eagles lost a lot of their coordinators. They won the Super Bowl last year. It still comes down mostly to players. I know there's going to be a change here and there. Players have to perform better. And for the most part, I thought they had a good enough lineup, certainly to score 7 runs in those 3 games instead of 5. And the guys just did not hit at the wrong time. And the thing to me is 2 years in a row. That's what worries me a little bit. I don't know how you combat that. I mean, after all, they could be second in home runs last year, and then or next year, sorry, and then go into the playoff and, you know, struggle again. I mean, that's it is the nature of baseball, unfortunately.
This is funny to me because, see, these are rich problems, and I'll explain what I mean by that.
I know what you mean.
I'm
not talking about money.
No, we're not talking about money. I can't think of the last time that we've been able to have a conversation about a Padre player struggling in the playoffs because they are having so many opportunities to actually be
there.
Right? This is a conversation that happens with the New York Yankee players all the time. The Dodger, this guy, we talked about it with Kershaw at some point, right?
Yeah, like, for sure.
He struggled in the postseason. Padres are now in the postseason enough where these things are now going to
can
start
actually bring
pop
it up a little bit.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's a part of the new reality. But
yes. You
are absolutely right. And we're seeing that across playoff baseball.
For sure.
If your best guys are doing their thing, you got a shot.
Amazing how good the Phillies look last night with Turner getting 3 hits and Schwarber hitting 2 home runs.
How about that?
A lot better.
I mean, the Yankees stayed in the series because their guys were actually, you know, playing well.
Yeah. I think the Padres
playing well enough
leveled up a little bit because before it was, hey, if we have a winning season, it's a great season. Now the standard is a playoff.
It's changed.
I know,
and
it is going to be.
That's their mindset now.
No, but the standard is to win in the play. Or, you know, what we're
going to
be.
Well, now it has to go deep in the playoffs.
We are now changing from where you
to
you
get
say
to the playoffs. Now you have to win in the playoffs.
What I'm concerned about is that you can get to the playoffs. I feel that's in your control. I feel that's in AJ's control in terms of building the team. But winning in the playoffs is not so much in anyone's control. How do you build a team that you can guarantee is going to get red hot that week of the playoffs? That's the conundrum that I see.
The teams that consistently are there, if their best guys aren't playing well at a particular time, the team is playing well enough to get them there. But at some point, the big dudes do the big things.
Yeah. I don't think there's any problem with fans expecting a playoff berth.
No, they should.
No, that's where we are now.
Oh, no, they should.
That's where we are now.
That's a good place to be.
It's a great place to be. All right, we got to get to break. We've gone pretty long here. Morgan and Chris on the other side.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 2:24 is the time. We'll do a little short segment here. Get you ready for... it's coming up at the bottom of the hour, Mr. Scraby. I know we're on a short show today. Did you change any of the...
Grande Cinco.
Scheduling? Big Five. All right, we'll get right into that. Daily Gambit a little later. And a
Grande Cinco.
Grande Cinco.
Yeah, about the only... Do you know any more Espanol than that?
Si.
Okay.
Si.
Yeah. 30-mile zone in the 3 o'clock hour. Also, a little later, I thought it was part of the story last night with the Dodgers losing was the sad apparent ending for Clayton Kershaw. Did not go out with a bang at all. You wonder if that's the last we'll see of him. And I know that the criticism in the anti-Kershaw world is that he's the worst postseason pitcher of all time. I went ahead and compared him to some of the other great contemporaries of this era, and I think you're going to be surprised where Kershaw lands, but we'll do that a little bit later. Football. Tonight it's the Eagles and the Gigantes. We'll have the game. Coverage begins at 4:30. This weekend, Chargers go to Miami, which is ought to be a welcome sight for the Chargers, the way they're playing right now. Although, I guess they've only won one game in Miami since that great game back in the 1981. So they have not had any success down there, but I don't think that includes this team playing against this particular version of Miami. So Chargers, we'll see. And then the big game, I think Sunday, I mean, everyone's talking Detroit, Kansas City because they're the marquee Sunday night. But I think the game I'd want to see is going to be the 49ers and the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I don't want to see the 49ers.
I want to see the Buccaneers, though, because Baker Mayfield is playing like an MVP. And there's a pretty funny story. I mean, he, I guess, got into it with some fan.
Oh, in Seattle.
In Seattle.
This fan gets into it with everybody.
Okay.
I actually heard Aaron Donald and what's the quarterback's name from the Atlanta Falcons back before?
Oh, Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan.
Okay.
They got a little podcast they do together.
Oh, and they were talking about this particular guy. Okay. Well, Mayfield got into it with the fan before the game.
Mayfield's got a great mouthpiece, man.
Well, like, he also has a potty mouth.
He definitely does.
You got to throw a few in there. You can't go soft.
You're going to be bleeping quiet at halftime.
I feel
you're a bleeping bleeper, was what Mayfield said.
I feel like if someone like George Pickens said this, we would be talking about it all week. But Baker Mayfield, and I'm not saying it's race related. I'm just saying George Pickens is looked at as a guy who maybe flies off the handle.
Baker talked about this.
Yes,
in his presser.
Did. And I like what he said. He said, you know, and here's his quote. He said, early in my career, if I did that, it was because I was cocky and immature.
Right.
Now I have moxie. I'm a dog.
Do you know why that is? It's because he's proven it on the actual field.
That's right.
And that's why people
think it's great.
Yeah, they enjoy it.
So, you know, and I think his team loves it. I guess evidently after the game was over, Mayfield was skipping into the tunnel.
I love this.
And the fan goes, "You still suck! You still suck!" These fans have cracked me up. But
Love that he went in there skipping.
Yeah,
too,
he skipped on through. But I'm looking forward to that game just because I want to see Baker. To me, they're kind of the fun team to watch. They've won four games, and all of them have been in the final minute of the game. So
They
played some fun football.
But, I'm rooting for Baker. I like him.
Yes. We'll talk about...
He's a dog, as they like to say now.
Yeah, and he has moxie.
He's got a lot of moxie.
We will have our picks, Tony and I, at about 4:15 today also. And we did mention that the Dodgers-Phillies game four is coming up. Sanchez is going to pitch for the Phillies. Now, I guess he's got enough layoff, right? Because they had 2 days off in the series.
Yeah.
So he comes right back after game one. And what that does is it takes Muncy out of the game. Moves Kike to third base. Call plays left field. The guy that's totally forgotten, by the way, it was Conforto. Did he even make the roster?
No, he's off the roster.
Yeah. So, I mean, thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
Tyler Glass now will start for the Dodgers. And, of course, the Phillies are trying to stay alive. Then later tonight, Peralta and Milwaukee go for the clincher against Matthew Boyd, who got bombed in the first game for the Cubs. Yankees are out. I'm assuming you're not upset about that.
No, as I thought it would.
You'll save Jr. your piece said, for them.
The Yankees lose, he said.
Yes. Vlad Jr. said that.
He was very excited.
I thought that was Ortiz's line.
He stole it.
Ortiz was interviewing him. And he dropped it on him.
Guys say Tanner Scott?
We didn't mention that he's off the roster.
Yeah, he's off the roster, which
Scraby thinks there's a conspiracy behind it.
A little bit.
Who does?
Scraby.
A little bit.
Why would they change their mind? He hasn't even pitched.
No, I know that. I know that. But last night, Dave Roberts said it was a personal reason. Today, it's an injury. So they had a, what was it, Tony? Abscess incision or something?
How do you make it through this world thinking about all of this stuff every time? Well, I think when a light turns red, you think, that's a conspiracy. Somebody's watching me drive. You do, don't you?
Yeah, he does.
Sometimes.
He definitely does.
Okay. Sometimes. I'm not the only one who thinks this out there, okay?
Yes, but you think it louder than most.
I do. Yes. I do project a little bit.
All right, bottom of the hour, we got our Big Five, all the other stuff going on, and then, more baseball, football, Padres, and all kinds of stuff. Short one till 4:30. Glad you're with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's always nice to get a visit from the one and only Sam Levitt. Haven't seen him. He's been hibernating for a little bit of time, and rightfully so.
It was actually not a very long hibernation. I mean, the season's
really
just 8 days ago.
We see this guy.
Was it last Thursday? We hear from him every day.
Sit down, Sam.
You know? And now he's going to get...
Sit down.
He thought he was going to get out of here without having to go get on the mic.
This microphone?
Yeah, there we go.
There you go. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing well. Had to swing by the station, drop off some equipment.
I'm sure you wish you didn't do that today, huh?
No, it's good. It's good. So did that. Spoke to JR over there at the engineering desk. And, everything's
fascinating.
Good. It's been a nice little week.
You're the one that made him sit down. What did you expect him to tell you?
It's been a nice little week.
Did you do anything at all during the week away from the mic?
Let me think. Over the weekend when we got back, I did not do a whole lot. And then this week I've been doing some stuff here and there.
How quick were you to be able to watch a game?
Oh, I watch those games
right
over
away?
The weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not.
Look, obviously, it would be better if we were there and the Padres were in it and we were working. But playoff baseball is still playoff baseball.
Still like it.
No doubt. Entertaining. I when you watch the Brewer series, you're kind of sitting there thinking, like, man, could have.
Yep.
But after the first couple of days, I mean, the baseball's been good. So not that there's really any benefit, but like it does allow you to just sit there and watch
and
the
enjoy
game.
The game. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And just watch. So and we very rarely get to do that, right?
Nope.
Like totally worrying about any.
You're usually scanning. You're not really watching usually.
Right.
Now
one of
you
the things
sit,
that
like,
I've
enjoy.
One of the things I've come to respect most about Sam Levitt is you are a wordsmith when it comes to the phrasing of questions after a game, especially when usually these guys probably want to get to the locker room
I mean,
and you got to stop and ask him a bunch of stuff. So
yeah, but the caveat I would say The caveat I would say is that I don't do it in the clubhouse. I do like the easiest interview there is, which is right, on the field on the after field. A win.
Okay, but, yes. But let me ask you. Schwarber hits a home run like that next year for the Padres. What are you asking?
I'd probably ask him if he thinks that one was farther than
the one off Darvish.
The one off Darvish, yeah.
Okay.
Next year, yeah, I'll tell you what, that would be a nice little fit for the Padres.
Well,
we've already been dreaming over here. So, all right, Sam,
I like him.
You don't need to be on the mic, man.
Thank you, Sammy. Oh,
I'm sure at some point I'll be.
Oh, I'm positive you will be here at some point, which is why I'm telling
you. I will
run.
I will admit. Mr. Klug did call me yesterday and asked me about a date, but yeah. I am going to be out of town that day.
So run.
He was not pleased.
Smart.
He was not pleased.
No, he was
run.
Fine. He was
run.
Fine.
Sam.
You know Adam. He'll like kind of give you a sigh. Uh-huh. But he's like. Okay, he's like,
so that's not just me.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought for sure it was just me. No. Like,
there's a song, and then
what?
There's a.
So you're getting married that day?
Welcome back, Sam.
All right, see you guys.
Thank you, man.
See you, Sam.
We got a Big Five. Real quick, I want to play this before we go to the Big Five. Because at some point during the season, the Blue Jays kind of took over first place, and they really never let it go.
And they did it by beating the Yankees.
They swept them.
Right, right.
And as rightfully so, the Blue Jays were pretty excited, and it irritated one Michael Kay.
And Michael Kay is one who irritates us, or at least me.
Yeah, I don't know if he irritates us, but okay. He definitely was irritated about the statement. Here's what he had to say.
And one final thing. You shouldn't hang on the rim 3 minutes into the third quarter of a basketball game. Feel good about sweeping the Yankees. Feel good about winning all these games in a row. Feel good about being in first place. But to hang on the rim this early, let's hang on the rim in October. That's when you hang on the rim.
Well, they're still...
Pretty sure they're up there right now.
They got the Shaq O'Neal hang, too, right now.
Oh, like, man. They might be bringing the whole stanchion down today.
I had to find that because I saw some clips on Instagram where... Some Blue Jay accounts.
Yes,
were,
they were.
They certainly were having
they didn't
fun.
Forget.
So I had to go back and kind of find that to see what he said, and then boom. They're feeling pretty good right about
it. Yeah,
now.
A lot of trolling by the Blue Jays after their victory.
A lot of
last
trolling.
Night.
All right, let's get to the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Real quick before you start, love what I just saw TBS pull off in their coverage of the game today. Dodgers, Phillies, we typically only see it in like all-star game batting practice. Somebody's get mic'd up and they're talking. Well, they just had Bryce Harper while he was getting ready to take BP. I thought that was pretty cool.
As long as they don't do it during a playoff
game. I don't
want
to see it during the game.
You like, do?
I said I don't want to see it during the game. Just this is perfect.
Yeah. I love when they're talking to Juan Soto out there and balls are flying past him. Kind of cracks
you gotta distract the guy somehow.
Yes. I'll guess that Chris is behind it. He's like trying to get through to Juan Soto on every play. All guests on 97.3 The Fan join us via the David P. Shapiro fan hotline. Facing criminal charges? Trust David P. Shapiro criminal defense attorneys. Helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com.
And if you don't think teams are superstitious, Phillies are going with the throwback powder blues again.
Tony, do they... I mean, they have to wash the uniforms after every game, right?
For sure.
Okay, so none of these guys are wearing the same uniform from last
night?
Not
a chance. Okay. Not a chance. I mean,
they might have actually gone out and bought a whole new set for these guys. Who knows?
The clubhouse guys and all of these, they're so good.
No, like, they work all night.
Yeah, they're not going home until everything is hung up. Mm-hmm. So that when they walk in the next day, all they're doing is
clean.
Taking the jersey off the hanger and putting it on.
I used to spend a little time after games sometimes with our Gulls equipment guy, and you know, kind of see how he did things. And you're right, Tony. He didn't go back to the hotel till
it's a long night.
The game was ready for the next day already. Anyway, information you probably didn't need.
All right.
Now
number five.
I didn't mind it, Chris. I did not mind it at all. Right. The NCAA, as we know, will permit athletes and staff to bet on professional sports, a rule change effective November 1st, if approved by all three divisions. Gambling on college sports and sharing information with bettors remains prohibited. Illinois Athletic Director Josh Whitman said that this change helps the NCAA focus on game integrity while promoting healthy betting habits for student athletes. Kirk Kenny caught up with SDSU football coach Sean Lewis, and he called it, Sean Lewis did, quote-unquote, slippery slope. He went on to say, quote, some people can do it within reason. Others, it's kind of like drinking, right? Some people can do it socially, and it's not a problem. Others really struggle with that. So you've got to educate. Got to do a great job with it. We spend a lot of time on financial literacy, and that's probably a chapter we need to add to the lessons, end quote. Tony, 5 years from now, what kind of impact do you think this change will have had at that point? Is it going to go terrible? Is it going to be okay?
Which change?
Allowing them to bet on professional sports.
I think it's going to go terribly. Terribly, terribly bad.
I think Sean Lewis says something interesting, though. He says that they just need a little bit more education. You've got to educate. And so maybe it's a team-by-team thing?
No, it's not. As much as I hate to disagree with Coach Lewis, they're all gonna get educated, and we're gonna still see a slew of these more than we should feel comfortable seeing of kids, you know, gambling. And you know what? Now I'm talking about this a little bit. I think about now this generation and their approach to alcohol. I don't think people are drinking the way that our generation drank.
So you mean like drinking as much as you can?
Exactly. So maybe there's some hope there. Maybe they can be educated, but every limb in my body is telling me that it is going to go woefully bad.
Yes. Yes. Chris, what do you think? In 5 years, what impact will this have had?
What Tony said, and the only thing I'll add to it is that this notion that by legalizing it, it'll be out in the open. And, you know, Sean Lewis correctly said, they're going to have to spend time, you know, informing and educating. But the real reason we know they're doing this is what you said yesterday, Scraby.
Yes.
FanDuel, DraftKings, that's untapped money for the NCAA.
Got to get it.
They don't care about any of these kids and the temptation that they're providing. So
Brandon on the chat says SEC football on CBS presented by BetMGM. It's exactly what's going to happen. We're going to see the codes.
We're headed there. And I think speed that I don't know that I thought was possible.
I mean, why not just bring back cigarette ads?
We might be on our way back to that too.
I almost feel like I know that cigarettes physically kill you, but I almost feel like gambling is worse. Because it will bankrupt you.
And then mentally.
Slowly tear you up.
And then mentally deteriorate. Yeah.
Slowly tear you up.
Yes.
I saw it firsthand with our great friend Chet Forty. He was a gambler through and through. In fact, he gambled on every Monday Night Football game that he ever directed, which was probably a conflict of interest.
Yes.
I'm just saying. But, you know, we love Chet. And, you know, I know near the end of his life, he was in debt from gambling. And I know that tore at him.
Yeah.
So it was an example to me.
That's definitely an example. I mean, I think they need to do something like what they do with DUI, where you have to come in and you have to talk to someone who's had their life impacted in a very negative way.
It's so weird. We've spent so much time early in society, at least 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, of basically addressing something by just not touching it at all.
Yeah.
Which isn't the right way to go about it either. But what we're finding is when you just open it, when you crack it open, there are so many things that you don't know how to even deal with at this point.
Jay says on the chat, online gambling streamers have become extremely popular in the last 3 or 4 years. And I agree. And I think that people should be very careful with the advice that they listen to, because these people know no more than we do.
That is the crazy part, is that we have now, like, substituted people who have the experience and have gone through it with just a talking dude that just has a great opinion.
And before anybody says that the Daily Gambit's the same thing, it's not. We're not asking you to go out and bet money. We're not giving advice. We're doing it within our own show.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we tell you don't follow
us. We say gamble responsibly, and we believe it, and we mean
what
it.
What we should say is don't gamble.
Yeah.
And then we got to get rid of the daily gamble. Number four. There's going to be a change at head coach for Team USA men's basketball. Steve Kerr is stepping down, and Heat head coach Eric Spoelstra is taking over. Chris, how much at this point in your life do you care about Team USA men's basketball?
What? Can you give me a scale?
Yes, one being you don't care at all. 10 being you watch every game.
Two. Okay. I did watch the last gold medal game, and I thought Steph Curry and the whole end of that was pretty exciting.
That was exciting,
but I have lost a lot of enthusiasm for that.
Tony, 1 to 10. 1 being you don't watch at all. 10 being you can't miss a
7.
Game. A 7. Yeah. Okay.
I don't. I can miss a game, but I still enjoy it. I mean, I want to see America win when we are on the stage. I know it's boring to everybody because they win all the time, but I also think it's funny that Steve Kerr is like, I'm out. When I'm gold medal, you guys complain the whole time.
It's true. It's true.
Who's not playing? Who's
Jason Tatum.
The whole point was to win a gold medal.
Nah.
Yeah, I'm good.
Good for Steve.
Now Spoelstra gets to
he'll be wanting out soon himself.
Do they get paid for that? I don't think players get paid. Yeah. I'm not sure, though.
Maybe the USA...
Team USA pays the coach,
but...
Yeah,
I just find that funny.
Well, they better get the Olympics sponsored by DraftKings then if those coaches want to get paid.
Just wait. That will happen.
It's the BetMGM 100-meter final.
It's already happening. It's screen when we have the 2028 Olympics. We're going to have betting odds. I guarantee it. Number three. LIV golf star Jon Rahm struggled in his return to action after helping Europe win the Ryder Cup, with Rahm briefly arguing with a marshal who tried to cheer him up during the Spanish Open today.
Wait, what?
I have been trying to find this audio, and I don't know if it's out there yet. I cannot find it on Twitter. I can't find it in Google.
Marshall tried to cheer him up?
After his drive found the left rough on the par 4 eighth hole, Rahm saw his lie and started complaining. Rahm said, "What a day." What a day is much more forceful than that, I'm sure. Followed by an expletive, which is very Jon Rahm. The marshal who marked his ball said, "It's okay." And Rahm immediately looked at him and said,
"Lit him up.
Don't tell me it's okay, please. Thank you." The marshal apologized as he walked away, while Rahm continued complaining. "It's not okay," Rahm said. He made par on the hole, but then he bogeyed the next, his last of the day, to finish with a round of 1 over 72. Tony, is Jon Rahm's act getting old?
I don't know if Jon Rahm's act is getting old, but what made me laugh...
That's funny, though.
What made me laugh is this is the equivalent of a guy in baseball struggling. I've seen this happen.
This is PCA.
Right. Well, not even PCA, right? Okay. Like, just we'll use PCA. Like, he... But we'll just pretend like he doesn't slam helmets or anything like that, right? We'll just...
I can't.
He's having a rough go of it. Maybe he's 0 for his last 10, and he hits a bullet, and it somehow gets caught.
Okay.
And he comes back at the dug. You know he's furious, and one of his teammates goes, "Hey, man, nice swing."
Oh, boy. That wasn't a nice swing.
And please, is that okay?
I've definitely seen a teammate lose his mind after hearing "nice swing" for the 11th time.
I'm going to say that the marshal's got to read the room.
He's got to read the room.
You can't go up to Jon Rahm and say anything.
Well,
you already know going in what kind of guy Rahm is. So,
and this is the Open. It's his home country.
First of all, he kind of already let you know where he was.
Yeah.
As he came to his wall,
what a day!
It was what like, a what a day!
Hey, it's okay.
I don't think that's the time to be like,
yeah,
it's okay.
Marshals aren't supposed to talk to the players. They're just supposed to be like, "Hey, where's my ball?" And they point to it.
He's lucky. He has all he got from Jon Rahm.
Chris, are you growing tired of his acts?
No, I'm not.
Really?
I need some more. Well, yeah, it's about the only thing I would ever watch LIV for.
Well, this wasn't actually a LIV event either, so.
Yeah. I'm cool with it.
All right. Number
two. Yankees. He's got moxie. Baker.
Like Baker?
Yeah, he's got moxie.
Yankees, for the final month of the regular season, Aaron Boone did not hesitate to share that he believed his club was the most talented in his 8 seasons on the top step of the dugout. It boasted power, speed, and improved defense. Yes, I'm taking this from the article I saw. A stout rotation and a bullpen featuring several proven veterans. He envisioned a path to the World Series, and he wasn't the only one. Remember when Jazz Chisholm Jr. said, we all thought we were the team, or when he said that they were the best team, we all thought we were the team to win the World Series, but baseball is baseball. We all know baseball can take a turn in any way, anytime. Baseball favors nobody. He said that while he was yawning, by the way.
I hope so.
Chris, we're going to go back to Aaron Boone. He's on the hot seat once again.
I'm going to say the same things I say to the Yankees every year. Go ahead and fire him at your own peril, because I don't think you're going to find a lot of guys that are going to handle the heat of New York and be as successful as him. And I know you didn't win it,
yeah.
But I also know that I have no problem with you saying at some point during the season you think you got a really good chance to win it. I mean, what are you supposed to say? Yeah, we're really lacking, guy. I don't think we're going to do anything.
We're
in the
postseason. We're a couple pieces away.
Right. I don't have a problem with that.
I'm booking my trip for October 9th.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've already given up on this season.
Tony?
Do I
Aaron
think
Boone,
he's on the hot seat?
Do you think he's gone? Do you think he's on the hot seat? No.
Here's what I think is important in today's sports day and age. Agreement amongst the top, right? Like, and how you want to play and build your roster. Because when you don't have that, you kind of got the manager doing what he wants to do. It's not really lining up with the... And so it just causes... it's not a great work environment. And they seem like they have that. They are literally in contention to win a World Series, but at least the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Maybe even longer than that. And so I think that's, at the end of the day, you can make some tweaks to your roster, see if it gets better, but I don't know that you're going to get a better manager than Boone. Not only on the baseball side, but how he handles the media, how he handles the analytics that organization likes. I think he's perfect for it.
All right. I'm going to save number one until we get to the 30-mile zone because it's about LeBron James and a Lakers fan who is now suing him. So that will be at
3:40. This is actually funny.
That will be at 3:40.
That's but a good one.
When we get back, we're going to go back into the dirty world of sports betting with the Daily Gambit on the other side.
Brought to you by MGM Plus, yes. DraftKings, and FanDuel.
All of them.
We're getting money from all
just
of them.
A baseball town. It's a
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.